This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 37, which is on the screen and also on page 541 in the Church Bibles. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming.
Thank you, Paul, very much. Thank you, Dan, and Tim as well. Well, as Tim has already indicated, we are continuing looking through our series, going through the Beatitudes. And as we do so, I'm just going to ask us to bow together in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that everything that Jesus said was significant and is important to us. And so we do pray that today we will recognize the significance of what Jesus was saying in this beatitude that Tim's already brought to us, and that we may see its significance for our own individual lives. By your Spirit, will you speak into our hearts? Create a willing space within us to hear what you have to say. Not only to hear what you have to say, but then to allow it to permeate into our beings and so to transform us into the very likeness of Jesus himself, in whose name we pray. Amen. And the reason it's important to pray that prayer is quite simply because Jesus himself describes himself as being meek. So this is the third of our Beatitudes. We've already had a look at a couple of them. 2 or 3 weeks ago was the last time when we were looking at that blessed are those who mourn. And you will recall that that time I drew our attention to Isaiah and 61 and how in a very real sense the Beatitudes were a commentary on Isaiah 61 and most especially to that particular beatitude. And the same can be said of Psalm 37 as we look at this particular beatitude, blessed are the meek. When I began at the beginning of this week thinking, okay, what are we going to do when we look at this beatitude? When I began thinking about the fact that I felt the Lord was leading us to go through these beatitudes, there is always that horrible moment when you think, what is there to say? You know, Jesus has said it all in a few words. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. What can you expand any more on that? But the more you look into it, the more you read, the more you see what Jesus is really getting at. And Psalm 37 is certainly a really good commentary on this particular beatitude. Now, in a sense, I'm repeating a little bit of what Tim has already done in terms of asking about meek people. So he looked at famous people. I've looked at some people who are in the news this week. I just think it is both sad and pathetic what happened to the English manager this week, but it reflects what was going on in his heart, which the papers have described as greed. And they may, probably, they're not always, but they may well be right in this occasion. And I'm not entirely sure that the picture of the would-be presidential candidates, they are meek, are they? So that's not what we're looking at.
Well, the Oxford English Dictionary definition of meek is submitting tamely to injury. I'm not entirely sure whether the Brazilian football team in 2014 submitted to injury, though I think nationally they felt very wounded as a result of it, but they certainly submitted tamely to the result. Those of you who are not into football, Germany beat Brazil, who fancy themselves as the best in the world, 7-1. So it was a dramatic, and it was on home ground as well, their home tournament. But when you look at that, submitting tamely to injury, what does that create within you? You know, the very first time I read that, I thought, right, I'm not going to use that. That's no good, because submission, I just don't like submitting. Tamely, I certainly don't want to be considered to be tame and useless. I want a bit of kind of backbone within me and so on. And to injury, none of us like to be injured either. So, you know, just throw that out. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, it's a very precise and accurate biblical definition, which I wouldn't normally say of the Oxford English Dictionary. So have a look at that one. Think about also within literature. Now, Tolkien, you need to understand that Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, had a huge influence on C.S. Lewis. In fact, it was as a result of a conversation between Tolkien and another Christian academic that C.S. Lewis became a Christian believer. So do not therefore be at all surprised when in not only the literature of C.S. Lewis, like the Narnia stories and his science fiction stuff as well, which some of you probably don't know, it's less well known, but also in The Lord of the Rings, which has of course become spectacularly well known in the last few years, you have got echoes of Christian values and Christian morals coming through. So if you look at some of the characters from Lord of the Rings, and we've got a couple of men there, but they are aggressive men. They are warmongering men. You've got a dwarf in there as well. I think that might be Gimli, but I'm not 100% sure. They are definitely fighting and aggressive people, despite their stature. You've got an elf. They are quite warlike. You've got a wizard who considers himself to be very wise. But actually, the hobbits, these very small, peace-loving, countrified, pastoral people, I wouldn't mind betting that if you'd asked Tolkien, of all the characters he ever created, would you describe any as meek? I think a hobbit would be meek. And if you don't know Tolkien, and you haven't read the books, then why not do so? Okay. There is the actual Greek word in the Greek, and as you will see, my transliteration into the English letters varies slightly from Tim's. Don't worry about that. Some of the letters don't always transliterate easily, but prius certainly is the word that we are talking about. And the word means being under control, and generally speaking, in ordinary usage, the Greeks would use it of a domesticated animal. And frankly, in the picture up there, and I have to apologise sometimes when I'm preaching, that not everybody is listening, looking now, because someone will be looking online or listening online. So there's some pictures here of our Paralympians, and especially our dressage, very successful dressage team. And one of those, on the far right there, is Natasha Baker, who got at least two, if not three, golds in the Paralympics. Now, down the bottom here, I've said her useless legs mean her horse responds to her voice. You can see on the right she's standing, so her legs are not totally useless, but from a riding point of view, she cannot use them to assist with the riding. Her legs just hang down when she's riding on the horse. I think to myself, lucky her, she's riding on the horse. I've never ridden a horse.
But dressage is such an important skill that requires minutiae, normally, of movements with the legs. But Natasha Baker has got such a relationship with her horses that they respond to very quiet, whispering voice commands. So not surprising, those of you who know of the stories of the horse whisperer, she's been given that title, horse whisperer, by her friends. And actually, let's finish the sermon now, actually, to be perfectly honest, because if you really get a grasp of what it means to be a domesticated animal, totally broken in, totally under the control of the one who is the owner, but an owner who is gentle and who whispers, and then the animal moves, then actually you've got the message. You've got what Jesus wants to get through to us. But we don't like to hear it, do we? You know that verse with that slide where I just gave you the Oxford definition of submission? We don't want to be broken in. We don't want to submit. And so perhaps we need a little bit more persuasion to hear exactly what Jesus is saying here. So that's where we need to go to Psalm 37 and see an expansion of what it means to be meek, to be under the control of God. So if we look in verses 1 and 7 and 8, we will find some help there. The opening part of this psalm is, "Do not fret because of those who are evil." Very often we get anxious because, well, my brother-in-law once sent me a message when I got into some trouble over an issue to do with my roof rack on my car. He sent me an email saying, "David, you're getting very anxious about what's going to happen to you here. You're a control freak." Well, that was polite of my brother-in-law, wasn't it? But was he right? He probably was right. Why I was so anxious was because I had lost control of the situation. Whereas he, as a lawyer, knew the likely outcome of what was going to go on and was not at all bothered by it. And so he just gave me, you know, calm down. That's exactly what's being said here in this psalm. Calm down, don't fret, because awful things are happening. You may feel out of control, but there is one who is never out of control. And that's what we need to understand. The one who holds our reins, remember we're a dressage horse, is the one who has got everything under control. So do not fret is the opening line of this psalm. And then in verses 7 and 8, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." And then God tells you what's going to happen to them later on. And verse 8, "Do not fret. It leads only to evil." Giving a hint of actually the more we get worked up about things, the more likely we are actually to commit sin ourselves. You may have noticed in those verses as well, there is a reference to anger. "Refrain from anger," verse 8, "and turn from wrath." And then it goes straight into the "do not fret." So there's a connection between fretting and getting angry. And the picture up there is a Tasmanian devil that has a reputation for being a very angry, fearsome animal. And pound for pound, pressure for pressure, it has the strongest bite of any animal in the world. And we were told it could crush through two human thigh bones. All right, easily together. How it's going to get two thigh bones. But that's what it's talking about, the power. It can be a very angry animal, and God's saying, well, don't be like that. Don't get yourself worked up. Don't be easily angered. That is
what the meek person is like. And in fact, this is really, really important, this aspect of anger, because that Greek word prius was used also by the philosophers. I think it was Aristotle that I was looking up a little bit earlier in the week. And Aristotle, his philosophy, when he was talking about virtues, was to have them bang in the middle between excess. And the excess is getting excessively, prius for Aristotle, was getting excessively over-the-top anger. Over-boiling over for him is what it was. But the opposite to that was not getting angry at all and, frankly, being cowardly, running away from injustices. And prius is right in the middle. So prius is having the right amount of anger at the right time for the right occasion in the right way at the right place that anger should be focused. So Jesus is meek, but we also know of several situations where Jesus was angry or indignant. So anger comes into this, but an anger that is under God's control. Did you also notice in verse 7? Oh, went backwards. That shouldn't have happened. We do sometimes slip up, don't we? Right, we go forwards. There we go. The one who is under God's control, and therefore this is what we're meaning about being meek, is patient. Verse 7 here. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. If you're agitated about something, how easy do you find it to wait? You find it quite hard, Wendy, absolutely. And I am fascinated by the fact that when we go to hospital or go to the doctors, the title that we are given is we are a patient. And we have to exercise it frequently. That's probably the last I need to say about that in terms of the person who is under God's control, even though we're desperate to get on or desperate to get news or desperate this, there is that sense of, actually, I don't have to worry about it. In fact, why am I worrying about it? Why am I impatient? What is fascinating about Jesus is at one and the same time, he was both perfectly busy and urgent. Now is the time he was talking about, and yet never in a hurry. Always patient, because he was 100% under the control of his heavenly Father. Now, and that in itself, that's mind-blowing. Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is Lord of all, and to whom I am invited to submit, and incidentally, it's a willing submission, is himself submitting to the heavenly Father. And willing, he does not ask us what he's willing to do himself, and completely patient about the timing of his ministry. What happens in those years between the one event we know of his childhood in Luke's gospel when he's about 12 and when he appears for his ministry? Jesus has to exercise enormous patience. We never have to wait that length of time, but he knows God's timing is perfect. And I put a little quote up there just to bring you a smile. If the person you are talking to isn't listening, be patient. They may have a piece of fluff in their ear. The wisdom of Winnie the Pooh. Actually, it is with other people we have to be most patient sometimes, don't we? And maybe a bit of humour will help with our patience as well at times. The one under God's control, as Psalm 37 tells us, is also generous. Leap ahead a little bit beyond where Paul was reading, and I would suggest you read the whole psalm when you go home, because I'm pretty certain that this psalm is what is in Jesus' mind as he is bringing this beatitude to us, and therefore all of the psalm is in Jesus' mind as he brings it to us. So verse 21 says, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." And if we look in verse 26, a few verses on, they, that is the righteous again, are always generous and lend freely. There is a map there. I've actually got a map in for a change.
And it's supposed to be the UK's generosity hotspot. So if you look at Sheffield, for instance, it's reputedly generous for two things. 86% of people will wait to hold a door open for someone. And 83% of people in Sheffield will give their old clothes to charity. So that they are the highest in the UK for that. Did you notice London is also at 41%? The highest place for, it's near the bottom, for cooking an unexpected meal for a friend. Okay, there is a nice sign of generosity. So there are some other signs of generosity. There on the right hand, just a gentle reminder, we have a food hub. People are making use of the food hub. Only last Sunday, a man came who was in particular need, and we gave him some food for three or four needs before he could get to the food hub. So we've got our own little thing here. And then there's the food hub that we give to in Purley as well. Please do replenish so that the food hub receives. That is us being generous and helping those. Why is the meek person generous? Because we know everything is provided for by our Heavenly Father, who has got everything under control, and therefore we do not have to worry. That's one of the things that we worry most about, is where we are going to get our food and our drink and our clothes and so on. He echoes of another part of the Sermon on the Mount coming through there. And because we know we have sufficient, we are therefore open-handed and able to give to others. The one who is under God's control. Move it on again. Let's see if it will go. No, I think, Kath, I need you to go to number 11, please. Thank you. Trusts in the Lord. If you're a trapeze artist, then you need an enormous amount of trust between your fellow, well, they're kind of gymnasts, aren't they? Incredibly, the timing and the athleticism and so on that is needed to be a trapeze artist. But it's then those gaps that they leap across so dangerously. Do you know, God doesn't put us into that kind of danger. And yet if they're able to trust in each other, why are we not able to trust in God? If you're having problems with trust, can I suggest that you talk to somebody who's been a Christian for quite a long time? I'm banking on the fact that the majority of people who've been Christians for quite a long time have had sufficient experience within their life and their Christian experience to know of enough situations where they've needed to trust God and God hasn't let them down. Actually, you don't need to have been a Christian a long time to have seen that God doesn't let you down. So why is it that we need to submit? Because actually, he is the one who is most trustworthy. And actually, what he's trying to say to us is he's more trustworthy than we are ourselves, even though we try and rely on ourselves. So what we're dealing with here is a battle between self-reliance and God-reliance. And actually, the logic is quite simple. He's the creator. I didn't make myself. He made me. He knows my shape. And if I try and squeeze myself into the wrong hole, as it were, then it's going to hurt. Whereas if I go into the hole that he made me, then it's going to fit and it's going to be natural. And so I need to trust him. And related to trust, let's hope that it's working. Yep, there we go. They are the one who hopes in the Lord. It didn't actually look up the verses, did I? Let's look at the verses in Psalm 37 for trust in the Lord. You might have noted them up there. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good, dwell in the land, and enjoy safe pasture. There you are, there's the horse again, isn't it? And verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this, and he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. And then leaping ahead to verse 25, I was young and now I am old. Steady on, psalmist, please. I'm not that old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Because God is trustworthy. That's what that verse is saying there. So trust in him. And verse 34, then this one that we've got up. There is a dog who is hopeful of the master or mistress returning with the lead and the ball wanting to go out. There's an expectation, an anticipation We should always have that of God. That sense, you know, our tails should be ready to wag. That's what we should be like on a Sunday morning. Is your tail wagging as you come to worship? Is that not what a dog does when the master or mistress comes home? They are worshipping their master or mistress. Because they trust them, they hope in them, they value them. We should do the same. Well, if we had tails, we would. But so, verse 34. Hope in the Lord and keep his way is what we are encouraged. And then there's one more to say. There's much, much more we could say in Psalm 37, but one more thing to say about being under God's control. They delight in the Lord. And that's going right back to the beginning. So it's a point that needs to be made to me. And don't forget that when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, that they are delighting. Life is in a place of bliss. Blessed and bliss are related to each other. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So that's 3 and 4. And there are other places within the psalm to look at as well. Why do we delight? Because we haven't got anything to worry about, because we've handed all over to God, because he's in complete control and we trust him and our hope is in him. Therefore, all need of anxiety has gone, even in the face of those challenges that Dan encouraged us to think about that we were bringing with us as we come into our service today. This is not being unrealistic about what is going on in life. But what it is saying is there is a reliance on God that is so deep and so profound. So Jesus, even for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Went straight towards death. In fact, we are told that he was steadfast and determined in heading towards Jerusalem to face his death because he knew what was beyond on the other side and the joy that it would bring. And that's what he wants us to experience as well. So the meek person may be like a doormat as far as some people are concerned, but they are more likely to be the happier of the people. There is a little bit more that we need to say, and I need to hurry through these next slides. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. What is that all about? Well, let's put up a big flag to begin with. That remember, Jesus is saying in two other of these about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is clearly not a place. But to the Jews, place was incredibly important, as it still is incredibly important. And by the way, it's the Jewish New Year this weekend. The promised land, they shall inherit the land or the earth, is all related to the promised land. But I've just noted 3 different approaches to wanting to possess the land. The Romans, they conquered the land. The Herodians politically wanted to still have their influence in the land, and the way they found to do that was to compromise. But that set up all sorts of tensions in doing it themselves. And when you conquer, you have to be able to hold on to what you conquer, and you have to be able to hold on to it by force. And the Zealots, of course, they were the revolutionaries who were going to play the Romans at their own game. And Jesus says that's not the way to do it. In fact, not only is he saying it's not the way to do it, he's going to say, the meek have already effectively inherited the earth. What do they mean? What does he mean? And it is in Psalm 37. Okay, apologies to those who don't have access to pictures and looking. But does anybody recognise what they're looking at there? What do you think you're looking at? No, I know you recognise Sam, yes. Sorry? It is Hobbiton. Well done, John. Yes. We're actually looking at New Zealand. What we're looking at is basically sort of allotments, really. But up here, that is a hobbit hole that belongs to one Bilbo Baggins, and then there's another one down here, and there's another one off here and round here. But I deliberately didn't make it too obvious to you. Now, why am I doing that again and bringing J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings in? Because these meek hobbits do actually exhibit many ways of showing what the psalm is telling us. So look at verse 11, which really is the important verse that kind of focuses in on the meaning of this beatitude. Because verse 11 is, "But the meek will inherit the land." You know, that is clearly Jesus coming back to the Old Testament. The connection is just so strong here. "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." So, inheriting a place, inheriting the land, is effectively saying, remember what it was like for the Jews when they were in Egypt and when they were under slavery. The promised land was the place that they were going to be able to go, and God was giving it as an inheritance. It was the place that was going to be their home, their homeland. So Jesus, the first thing Jesus is saying is you're going to be well settled in a place that you can call home. But remember, the place that you call home doesn't have to be a geographical place. And then it's a place of contentment. The thing about Hobbiton and about the hobbits and the Shire where they live is it's a totally unthreatening place. There never seems to be any war or violence there, despite what's going on in the rest of Middle-earth within the stories. It's a place where people can live contentedly, and there's much joy. And the reason I show this picture, and the reason that particular location in New Zealand, this is a movie set, but it's in a real landscape. And in fact, up on the top right there, you can see a field which is being eaten by cattle. That's cattle in the background. There are sheep in the background there as well. The reason that set was chosen was because of the big tree in the middle. And that is the party tree that features strongly within the stories, and the party and all the joy that is associated with the party that the hobbits have that is related to Bilbo Baggins and his great age, and then the kicking off of the story. And that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be in a place of delight, and if we submit to him, it will not be a submission that is miserable and servile. It will be a submission that brings joy and release to us in our lives, and that's what he invites us to do. You will have life and have it to the full, says Jesus in John's Gospel. Will we hear him? Gone backwards. Right, need to go to slide 18. So to the next one on, please. Thank you. And just to prove that we were there, it is a place that is secure because the same psalm says, and they will enjoy peace in verse 11. And remember, peace, this is Hebrew, this will be shalom, this is more than simply the absence of conflict. It's all that means well-being and wholeness within someone's life. And in fact, the very next one added to it is prosperity. And that, I think that is the reason why frequently within the films you see the pictures of these gardens and of produce and of the hobbits enjoying themselves and going, it's because of that sense of prosperity and well-being that's going on within their lives. And God is saying, I offer you prosperity. You know, the promised land, they will inherit the earth. The promised land is meant to be and is described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And again, I invite us to consider what the psalm says, have the righteous ever been abandoned by God? It's beyond that. We're never abandoned by God, but God does enable us to prosper. He always provides everything that we need and more abundantly than what we need. Now, I don't want us to preach that prosperity gospel. If you do this, then it will make God cause you to prosper. And neither am I going to say that our lives will be without difficulties, challenges and suffering. That's clearly here in the Beatitudes as well. But God enables our lives to prosper if only we will see it.
Our problem is, because we're trying to control our lives, we look at the bottle and think it's half empty because we're thinking of what we're trying to control, instead of remembering that actually it's more than three quarters full in terms of what God has already given us. But as I just come to a conclusion, I do need to bring a warning. What happens to us if we refuse? What happens if we say, I want to do it my way? Then the psalm is very clear, and Jesus would want us also to hear it. And I have listed a whole series of verses. So look how many of them there are. Verse 2, 9, 10, 13, 20, 22, 28, 34, 36, 38. And you might find some more. All of them referring to the end of the wicked, or to the destruction of the wicked, or to the death of the wicked. So on the one hand, there is all the joy of what God wants to give us. And he says, all I require of you is to willingly give yourselves into my hands. But if you don't, there is a consequence to pay. Jesus dies to deal with our sin. But if we do not accept what Jesus dies to deal with, then our sin is not dealt with. And that leads to our destruction. Let me just show you the last slide, which really... No, the last slide. That went wrong direction. In Genesis 32... we see what goes on in most of our lives. Jacob wrestling with God. How do you think I came into Christian ministry? Tim said that he's not meek, but he was once described as a geek. Some people would possibly have described me as a goody two-shoes. And might have thought that because my dad was a Baptist minister, I was naturally going to go into Baptist ministry. Not on your life. I had other plans. Some of you won't be surprised to know it was something to do with the Ordnance Survey. But God took hold of me and he said, David, until you submit, you're not going to be fitting into that right shape that I have worked out for you and for your life. And I don't say it to my credit that I actually submitted, because I think it took God quite a long time to get me round to doing what he wanted me to do. It's just, I saw the light. I saw that actually, well, I was selfish. I saw I was not going to get any peace and I wasn't going to enjoy life until I did actually submit to God. In fact, my first prayer on agreeing when God called me into ministry was, okay, Lord, I'll do it, very unwillingly. So I was wrestling like Jacob here. But in the same way as Jacob then turned around and said, okay, bless me then, Lord. I then kind of, maybe not very graciously, but quite realistically said, Lord, okay, will you then make me a little bit more willing about being a minister? I don't want to be a miserable minister all the time saying, I'm here because God told me to and you're going to hell unless you turn to... I wanted to be willing. And you know, within 6 months, having forgotten I'd prayed that prayer, I suddenly found myself really looking forward to what God was calling me to. And the reason I say that is because that is exactly what God wants in all of our lives, if we will actually submit. So we need to learn to let go and let God. We need to be responsive. We need to be compliant. We need to be willingly submissive. Let us pray. Father, we hear your call. We see in this psalm the qualities of one who is meek. We see the joy of what some would describe as the reward. What are the benefits of actually being submitted to you? Lord, forgive our foolishness and our resistance to you. By your love, melt our resistance, and may all of us be willing to submit to you as Jesus himself fully submitted to you in your will, in whose name we pray. Amen.